the name Karen Hartglass sounds familiar, it's because she has a show on PRN called It's All About Food. And it is all about food in terms of our health, our personal health, but also our planetary health. So very pleased to welcome to the program Karen Hartglass.
Hi, Betsy. I can't believe we're actually on the same show together. This is really fun.
I'm sorry it took us so long, but glad we are starting off 2013 on the right green track. I'm going to listen to your show. I have not yet, but every time I hear the thesis, I say, got to catch that program. So I'm definitely going to now, because I am kind of late to the greener eating program. I guess age caught up with me, you know, menopause, and I just could not continue with my diet. Didn't eat a lot of meat, but a lot of dairy. And I'm on my second cleanse as many months, really doing a lot of juicing and salads, and I can't tell you, but I don't need to, how terrific I feel. And look, and it's really just been, well, you know, a cleansing, a lightening up in every possible way. So I'm newly interested in your subject area.
Oh, well, good for you. I'm proud of you for taking the plunge and doing things that are not only good for you but good for the planet. And people that listen to my show hear me say this a lot. You don't know how good you can feel. You don't know, or at least most Americans don't know, how much better they can feel simply by eliminating some foods and adding in some new foods.
Absolutely, not to mention how you look, but that's just kind of a side benefit, because first and foremost, you just feel so different and terrific. And
you know,
with this nation's obesity epidemic,
This
seems like, you know, it should go viral.
I know, and I think 2013 is kind of the year for plant-based foods. We're getting more and more attention for lots of reasons, certainly for health. But, you know, I was just listening to your program before I joined, and you're talking about global warming. There are so many things that are related to our food production that are affecting our climate, air pollution, water pollution, and we're all frustrated because the government keeps doing the wrong thing, making the wrong choices, and so many people are lulled into buying the wrong products because the media tells us to. And my message continually is we all as individuals can make a difference if we want to, and especially if we're concerned about the environment, and it all has to do with what we eat every day.
Greenhouse gases, methane, comes out of raising livestock, not to mention all the resources like water that go into raising cattle.
Factory farming has to end. It has to end. If you care about the environment, you don't want to support factory farming. So what does that mean about what's on your plate? You know, of course, personally, I would love everyone to be vegan, but I'm a realist. I know that's not going to happen. Some people might choose to buy sustainably raised animals, and I think when you're doing that, you have to realize you still have to eat a lot less. Animal consumption has to go down.
Absolutely. How did you become a vegan, Karen?
Well, it all started for me from a compassion standpoint. I was a teenager. It dawned on me one day that what I had on my plate was a dead animal, and I just didn't want to participate in that anymore. It's that simple. And over time, I learned about nutrition. It was funny because my mom was concerned, and she took me to the family doctor, and we need doctors, but some are good and some are not so good, and most of them don't know anything about food. Mm-hmm. And his reaction was, it's a good thing to eat animals because we give them life by raising them for food. And that was his response. Now, he obviously didn't know or didn't want to talk about the pain, the suffering, the exploitation, the excrement, the filth that they live in, the separation of the babies from the mothers, and the
cramped quarters.
And that was a while ago, and we didn't know much about factory farming, and it was still in development in the 70s. But things have changed a lot since then, for probably not for the better. So that's how I got started.
And I understand you had a bit of a health scare half a dozen years ago.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I wonder why this thing happened to me. I was diagnosed with advanced ovarian cancer in 2006, and I know I get a lot of raised eyebrows when I say that, because people say, you're on such a healthy diet. How did you get cancer? And what I realized in analyzing the whole thing in hindsight is that my diet saved my life. I was living with this thing for decades. I started out as a teenager with a problem, didn't recognize it or didn't want to deal with it. Certainly the doctors didn't want to discuss it. And it just ultimately led to ovarian cancer, and I had all kinds of interesting treatments that most people couldn't survive. And I not only survived, I'm thriving, I look great, I feel great, and I'm over it. And I, so now I package all that information that I put together to save my own life, and I share it with whoever wants to know about it at my nonprofit, Responsible Eating and Living.
Karen, that is very dramatic and very impressive. I've known friends who have, you know, treated or cured themselves of health problems, but, you know, late stage ovarian cancer.
People die from that. Women
almost
die from
always.
That. Yeah.
Almost always. And,
well,
and
I have a scientific background, and I kept reading the information and the studies and seeing 10 to 20% survival rates, which when you're reading it about yourself are kind of daunting. But then I thought, wait a minute. I can be that 10 or 20%. I can be those few that survive. How do I do that? And then my story.
You clearly are onto something with your diet.
Yeah.
And I'm sure your the rest of your lifestyle is probably healthy. I'm sure you exercise, get out in nature.
Yep.
Stress management, all those things.
Check.
Yeah, diet is key. I mean, you sound, you know, healthy and bubbly and bouncy, and I'm so happy and so happy that we've connected here. You've done a lot of interesting things in your life. I see in your bio you sung opera at one point. You did musical theater. You traveled around the world. Were you able to stick to a healthy diet, or as I would call it, live it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I lived in the south of France for 4 years in the 90s and as a vegan. And I think the thing is to really be committed to your diet, really believe in it, and people will respect your choices. I had a circle of friends. We would entertain each other and have dinners when I would go to my friend's home. They knew what I would eat and wouldn't eat, and they made me lovely vegan foods. And when I would go to a restaurant, I would make it clear. And I only had one instance in all of my time living in France where I had an issue. But for the most part, the chefs even would come to my table and say, I accept your challenge. I think if you're just open and light about it, it's a lot easier. And plus, in most places around the world, maybe not in the food deserts in this country, but most places have little bodegas and little food markets where you can always grab fruits and vegetables everywhere.
Mm. And you've founded a nonprofit called REAL for Responsible Eating and Living. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I like to say REAL. It's a new nonprofit that was founded in the middle of 2011, and right now the internet is the major platform for it, where we have recipes, food shows. I archive my Progressive Radio Network shows up there. And we will begin to have events this year as well. But one of the things that I love to do is cook. And when people think about this diet, maybe not as much as before, but people think it's a diet of deprivation and they won't get satisfied and they won't enjoy their food. And yet that is so not true. I love my food. I love what I eat. We put real recipes up on the REAL website. By real, I mean these are things that I'm eating, and I post the recipe and I photograph them, because people often say, what do you eat?
Well, you know, I can speak from personal experience just very recently, being on a cleanse with Diana Stobo. I don't know if you're aware of her, but she does, you know, raw food, naked naked challenges, and we have these daily calls during the 10-day cleanse, and there's a woman on the call who was trying to lose 20 pounds because she had to have her stomach stapled. I know that's not the technical term.
Yeah.
And so she went on this cleanse, and she has lost 5 to 10 pounds in 10 days. She's feeling so amazing that she told her doctor she's not planning to have a stomach stapled because she found a better way, a healthier way to lose weight. That is profound.
Well, that's the message that I like to hear, because very often people will go on a cleanse just so they can lose a few pounds or feel like give themselves a little tune-up, and then they go back to their bad habits. And the best thing is really to go from there to creating a lifestyle, not a diet, but a lifestyle of good, healthy habits, not what the media is telling us to do, but what your heart is telling you what to do.
Your heart and your stomach. When you eat cleanly, you have no stomach upset. You just feel light and clean inside. And that is so reinforcing that I think people who do adopt this live it for a few days or a few weeks can't help but notice that. And so that can really help, you know, motivate one to continue. I wanted to just ask you in our last couple minutes if you've seen this YouTube video. I just saw it last night. Someone sent it. The former CEO of Citibank, Philip Wolin.
Yeah, is that inspiring? That is such an amazing video.
Well, he pulls no punches.
Yeah, and I would love to see more people like that in his position going vegan. Well, like Bill Clinton, for example.
Yeah, that's right, the China diet. And if anyone has not seen it, Google Philip Wolin talking about, well, the destructive nature of a meat-based diet. And he just is very blunt. I would think it would change some minds. It might turn some meat eaters off, but so be it. It's worth seeing. I mean, if we could make that mandatory viewing, that and Food, Inc., for every American, you know we'd see changes.
Absolutely. I like Food, Inc., and that's just for the iceberg. That doesn't even fully describe what's going on.
Well, it's all about food, and Karen Hartglass, so glad to learn about you and your show. I definitely will be tuning in, maybe calling in one of these days.
Oh,
great to have you on the program.
Thank you, and we'll talk sometime in February on my show.
Wonderful. Okay. Karen Hartglass is our last guest. Last but not least, hope you've enjoyed the show. Catch the archives at thegreenfront.com, and catch you next week.